Northeast. We love to have people join us online, and we certainly love having people in person, as it's been for quite a while now. It's been nice kind of coming out of exile. It's been a great experience, and we know there are still concerns, and there are things in the news. I know some of you have probably been paying attention to the news about this new variant on the COVID, what do they call it, the Delta variant, right? Have any of you heard about that Delta variant? Okay. All right. How much does it concern you? Does it concern you? Are you thinking about it? I see some heads shaking. No, it doesn't bother me a bit. Some of you are kind of doing this. And that kind of leads me into this first screen this morning. And that is a screen with somebody holding a cell phone, and they are scrolling. And I was introduced to a new term just a couple of weeks ago when I was watching the news, and they were making some comments. And one of the comments that was used, a word was used for the first time that I'd never heard before. And that word was doom scrolling. It's probably in the dictionary by now. Supposedly, it came out in 2018, and you are a doom scroller or a doom surfer if you're using a computer. If you're obsessed with bad news or potential bad news or bad things that could happen, and they said during the height of the pandemic, the practice of doom scrolling reached epidemic proportions because people were glued to their devices or their computers and just going from one link to the other, finding bad news or potential bad news. And part of that comes out of concern. It's kind of like, I guess a version of it might be, some of you may like feel aches and pains, you know something's hurting on the side, and then instead of letting it go or going to the doctor, you go online to WebMD, right? And so, yeah, that's a big mistake sometimes because you have some symptoms, you look them up, and you read all those terrible, bad things you can have. And by the end of doing the study on your symptoms, you're thinking, I just have a couple of weeks left to live. I mean, so sometimes we obsess about how things could be bad or they could be worse, and hence the term doom scrolling. And sometimes people obsess and they feed on that. And we certainly don't want to be that kind of people, do we? Now, the people back in 586 and before that, and after Judah fell and after Jerusalem fell and the people were deported, if they had had electronic devices, I bet you there would have been a lot of doom scrolling and a lot of fretting about how things would be. And I don't blame them, because what we face with the pandemic, as difficult as that is, I certainly would not put that as a whole in the same category as what happened to the people of Jerusalem when the temple was destroyed. Thousands of people were killed. They were deported to a different land. For those people in that concentrated area, it was a lot of doom and gloom. It really was. And they had to deal with it. And as Jeremiah spoke to them, and as God spoke to them through Jeremiah, he wanted to make sure that they knew and that they understood that there is a different way, that there is a different attitude that you can have, that there is hope. And we have been using this as a key verse throughout this series. God says to them, I have plans for you. I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to give you hope and a future. And so that was true for them. That's true for us. Whatever we face, God has a plan for us before, during, and after. And so we have been looking at how we kind of come out of the exile of COVID-19 and how we take the next steps we need to take to do that in a way just as God was instructing his people, that there is something you can do while you are in exile, and I have plans for you when you leave exile. And so we have looked at the whole idea of what it means to rebuild community. Just as God said to them, I want you to build where you are. I want you to build houses. I want you to grow and prosper and have families. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the idea of what it means to get reconnected as a family here at Northeast as we emerge out of our exile, what we've experienced the past year. And so I personally encouraged you to find ways to get reconnected to your church family, to reach out, to take the initiative. Don't wait for somebody to do something for you. You do something first. And there are lots of ways we can get reconnected as a family. And then last week, we talked about our nuclear families. And I reminded you that even during that time, when they were in exile, God said to them, I want you to prosper. I want your family to prosper. And we looked at several things last week that were related to the things that you learned during the time of pandemic. And I encouraged you, those good things you did as a family, the extra time that you had to spend together, to play games, to do church at home, don't let those things go. Continue to build on those things. And if we do that, it's going to make a huge, huge difference in what happens in our lives and what happens in the life of this church. And so, also, it says in the same passage in Jeremiah 29, you'll call on me and you'll pray to me and I will listen to you and you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I'll be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. So today, as we continue to build on this theme, this morning we want to talk about this idea of searching and seeking and finding and what it means and what it meant to them to seek God with all their heart. Because God says, I want you to find me. God can be found. He can be found. He says it to them in Jeremiah 29, and he's saying it to you right now. You can find God. The verse says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. You'll find me. You ever play hide and seek? I love playing hide and seek. I love playing hide and seek with my children. I love playing hide and seek with my grandchildren. And one of the points and the thrills of playing that game is not necessarily hiding so that they can't find you. When you're playing, when you're big and you know all the best spots to hide and you know the strategy, it's no fun to play that game if they can never find you. You know, part of the thrill of seeking and finding is the journey, is the process of discovery. And it's that way when it comes to our relationship with God. God can be found, but he wants us to engage in the process of that discovery and that search and that seeking to that point in time and continuing on when we say, ah, I found him. When my grandsons, when they find me, that's a great moment. It is a great moment. And I want them to enjoy the process of looking and searching and seeking and it not always being easy. And then there's that joy of discovery. And I feel like we really have had an opportunity in terms of our relationship with God to go on a bit of a journey and discover a little bit about what this process of discovery looks like. So when I asked you in that survey, what are some things you learned or how have you grown during the pandemic, some of you said some comments that I think are something that can apply to all of us in some ways as we think about it. What did you learn? How have you grown on this journey in you seeking a deeper relationship with God? What have you discovered? One person said, the most important lesson that I've learned is that challenges are meant to bring us closer to God. And so, as we think about seeking God, and as we think about our relationship with God, and as you think about your relationship with God, did you use the isolation, the challenge, the difficulties of the pandemic, all the new circumstances that we faced to bring you closer to God as you seek God. And some of you could say, absolutely, yes, that's me. There are others of you who might be able to identify with what another person said when they said, it offered me an opportunity for self-examination. When you're in isolation, when things are different, when things are slower, you have a lot more time to think about those things that maybe you're not paying attention to at other times in your life. And so this person said, it just gave me a chance to think. To think about life, to think about its meaning, to think about where I am, and to remember that whether it's COVID or something else, this earth's not my home. This earth is not my home. In a lot of ways, we're just passing through. Now, what we want to do here while we're here makes a huge, huge difference. It's not like we're just seeking, you know, pie in the sky someday. We want to make a difference and impact now. And one thing I've shared with you in this series is you can be a difference maker now. You can be an agent of healing. You can be an agent of change. You can be an agent of redemption. But we know ultimately, the goal ultimately is to be with God someday and to be in His presence and understanding that this life is temporary and that life is fragile. But somebody else answered and said, I haven't grown. I appreciate the honesty. When you do an anonymous survey, it is really helpful to get insights, and people will say something in an anonymous survey that they would not normally have said. And the person who said this wasn't the only person who said this. I told you that most people are optimistic about the future, but some people were very honest about the fact that they did not feel like they had grown, that they had not grown the way they should during the pandemic. And we're not going to blame anybody for that. That's just how things are. We want to think about what we can do next, how we can grow from this point forward, what we can discover about God as we seek God. And so the whole question comes up, well, how do you seek God anyway? I mean, really, you think about it, that's kind of a nebulous question to a lot of people, really. If you were to do an online search, how do you seek God? No telling what you would find as you did that search. You would find answers from everything to, you know, Eastern mysticism or some form of meditation. Other people would talk about seeking God. Other people might talk about Jesus. You might get all kinds of things out there. But we want to seek God, and we want to find Him, and we want to do it in a way that we're going to not only find what we need to find, but find what we're looking for. I mean, sometimes we accidentally find things. We accidentally discover great treasures. I was reading an article that gave reference, this is a while back, to the greatest accidental discovery of buried treasure in the United States. It occurred in 2013. And it occurred in gold country of Northern California and the Sierra Nevada, in the hill country there. The people who made this discovery are still anonymous, because what they discovered by accident was astounding. They were on their property. They had walked a trail many times walking their dog. But one day, as they walked on that trail, they saw what looked like a rusty can poking out of the ground, sticking out of the ground. And so out of curiosity, they went to that can, they dug around, they pulled it up, a can about this size, and it was heavy. They thought maybe there was paint in there or lead or something like that. So they took it back to their house, and as they were walking back to their house, a lid came off, and coins, gold coins, were in this can. And they thought, man. And so they marked the place for themselves, and they went back with a metal detector, and over the process of several weeks, actually several months, they discovered 8 cans on their property with gold coins dated from 1847 to just around the turn of the century, and they discovered over 1,400 gold coins with a face value of about $28,000. I said face value. Some of you may remember this. It was in the news. Face value $28,000, but actual worth of those 1,400 plus gold coins, about $10 million. Yeah. The previous greatest discovery of buried treasure, FYI, if you want to know a little trivia, was about $1 million of gold coins found in Jackson, Tennessee. All right? $10 million by accident. But the passage here in Jeremiah and what God is trying to say to us is there is a treasure in God and in a relationship with Him and in growing with Him that's worth way more than $10 million. It's found in ways that are concrete, in ways that we can do something specific as we seek God and grow closer to God. And one of those things, you know, a lot of what I'm sharing with you this morning, it isn't new information. You know, when God says, I want you to seek me, I want you to find me, I want you to seek me with all your heart, and then God says, pray. You know, there are only so many different ways you can make that point, right? Pray. I want you to pray. I want you to seek me, and I want you to find me in the act of prayer. And the amazing thing about this promise is God, listen to what God says. He says, you will call upon me and you will pray to me and I will listen to you. Let that sink in. If you believe that there is a God who is in control, as many of you said on the survey, that God reigns and rules and God is sovereign, I know everybody doesn't believe that God is omniscient, omnipotent, all those potents. But if you do, and I know many of you do, never grow old and weary and tired of this truth. That there is a God in this universe who knows you, loves you, wants you to talk to Him. And seek His face and pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. Jeremiah says, I want you to pray for the city where you dwell. I want this community where you live, God says to them as they're in Babylon. I want this city to prosper and grow, and I want you to prosper and grow. And part of that, he says to them, is pray for this city. Do we believe when we pray for our community, our world, and that we believe that God is hearing and that God is listening, that He will answer? I know for many people, and I know for some of you, maybe prayer is more just self-talk. Maybe just self-talk. And I've talked to people before who just struggle with this reality. Listen, what's going to happen is going to happen anyway, right? How is anything that I pray about or speak to God about, how is that going to change anything? All I know is if you believe what God says about prayer and you experience that, you know that it works. In fact, there were some of you, when I asked you specifically about how you've learned and how you've grown, I was so impressed with what some of you said about prayer. One of you said, this year I've spent more time in praying. One of you said, one of the things I learned during this pandemic, listen, was learning how to pray. Learning how to pray. I think that's wonderful. And this person said, I learned how to pray better and more effectively by teaching my children how to pray. So this parent is in a situation at home. Children are asking questions. They're wondering. It's an opportunity to teach our children. Talked about that last week. But it's an opportunity to learn ourselves. Another person said, I've done a lot of praying and know that God answers prayer, and I know that prayer works. I don't have any nifty practical tips for you this morning on how to pray better. I really don't. I try to do that as I preach, but this morning this is the tip. This is the nifty takeaway for you. Pray. Pray. You say I'm not a praying person. Pray. Start by saying to God, if you believe that there's a God who hears and answers and listens, start by saying to God, God, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. I feel funny, awkward. You fill in the blank doing this. But just do it. There are all kinds of sources out there that can help you apply the principle of prayer in your given situation and your demeanor in life. Tons of them out there. Explore some of those resources. But remember what Jesus said. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Because everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, to the one who knocks the door will be opened. And then Jesus says, how many of you, if your son asked you for bread, would you give your son a stone? Or how many of you, if your child asked you for fish, would you give him a snake? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. And we are sinners, even if we're good parents, we still have flaws and failings and we mess up. That's the point Jesus is making. If you, being someone who is a sinner and flawed, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to you? Just try. Just try. One other thing that's mentioned here in this passage is listen. That's my two main points this morning. Pray. And listen. The prophet speaks and God says through him, they have not listened to my words. Words I sent to them again and again. And such is the condition of the human spirit in our age and all ages. Sometimes we just want to hear what we want to hear, right? I want to hear what makes me feel good, what makes me feel comfortable, what makes me feel happy. I don't want to hear sometimes things that rebuke me or challenge me or make me think a different way. I'm in my nice little comfort zone. I don't want it to be disturbed. The people who lived in Jerusalem in this day, you think about it. If I was them, I wouldn't want to hear the bad news that Jeremiah was preaching over and over and over and over again. Doom, 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 and gloom. Folks were running away from Jeremiah. They found people who would tell them that everything's fine. Read the rest of Jeremiah 29 about the false prophets who speak lies. If you're looking for something that you want, you can find it. But sometimes what we need is not always what we want, is it? Listen. There was some of you in the survey who said, I found more time to read the Bible, to dig into the Word of God. I know somebody, they said they read through their entire Bible. And there may have been several of you who did that with the extra time. The point I made last week is whatever you have gained or whatever you've learned, don't let that go as things start getting busier again in your life and you go back to the same routines. Listen. Pay attention. The Hebrew writer says the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a divider of the soul and spirit and digs in it deep inside and reveals the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He says, therefore, understand, realize, everything is open and laid bare before the God with whom we must give an account. Listen. And I know not every one of you, I know those of you who are watching online, not every one of you believes that the Bible is inspired, believes that the Bible is the Word of God. So I know you may be saying, you may be thinking, hey, look, I don't want you quoting verses to me. I don't even believe all that stuff. But I will say this. It's interesting to me that when surveys are done, recently one was done in Columbus, just up the road by Barna, and they surveyed unchurched people in the area, people up in the Columbus area that had no religious affiliation. If they were asked if they belonged to a church or a synagogue or anything like that, they said, I have no religious affiliation whatsoever. They didn't claim to have a connection that way. Yet, when those people were surveyed, 47% of those people, unchurched, not attending anywhere, many of those people not even believing necessarily everything they read in the Bible, 47% of those people pray to God at least once a week. I don't know where you are, and I don't know where your belief system is right now, but I know for most of you, whether you believe in Jesus or not, that there is a yearning. There is a longing. There is a desire. There's a knowledge within you because God created you. I believe this. You may not believe it, but this is what I believe, that you're created in the image of God, that you're not just matter, that you are body and spirit, that you are body and soul. And that you know, even if you don't want to admit it right now, there's something better, deeper, more meaningful. And some of you have been moved to seek Him out. And I say, keep searching. Keep seeking. Start with Jesus. If you don't believe the Bible, you don't believe, say you don't even believe the Gospels, I just challenge you, encourage you, read one of the Gospel accounts. Read the book of John or the book of Luke. Just start there. Keep an open mind. No wonder where you might go on that journey. One of you said this in the survey, and I really appreciate this. And so, seeking God and listening to God isn't just about listening to His Word and how He challenges us, but it's also about paying attention to all kinds of things. So one of you said, God has made such beautiful and incredible things that I had previously not even appreciated before quarantine. I paid close attention to flowers, plants, bugs, animals, weather, whatever. I love that weather. Love whoever you said that. I'm a weather buff. God can reach out to us and His voice can reach out to us in all kinds of ways. Sometimes it's our circumstances. Sometimes God will use people to say something or do something that make us think. And yeah, it may be in that flower or that bug, if you pay attention. I love this statement. Found in Jeremiah 29. I'll be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back. I'll bring you back. Where have you been? Some of you have been in a wilderness and you've drifted or wandered. And maybe in some ways you can identify with a person who, when I asked, what's the most difficult thing you face? One person said, the most difficult challenge I face was just to keep going. Just to keep going. But whoever you are, you did. Okay? You did. Even in those dry times, you're still seeking God. And you can learn from that. You can come back. God is seeking you. Sometimes when I play hide and seek with my grandsons, and I did this with my kids too, I would find a really good hiding place. And there are creative ways you can hide in your house. And when you're hiding from a 2 or a 3-year-old, I mean, they're never going to find you. So I guess I could just stay in that secret spot and just gloat. Show them. They're not going to find me. But that's not the point, is it? I want to be found. I'll make a noise. I'll give a hoo-hoo. Or I'll screech. Or if they're downstairs, I'll yell down the stairs, I'm up here, and I'll go back to my hiding place. I want them to find me. And that's how God is with us. That's how God is with us. God is seeking you. He's seeking you. It's not just about us finding Him. The whole story of the Bible is about God seeking you. Us, from beginning to end. It's about God entering this world in the person of Jesus Christ because He wants to seek us and find us and save us and bring us life and hope and a future. Keep on seeking God. He's seeking you. Let's pray. God, in the mystery of life and so many things we don't know or understand, when we are honest and open with our deepest yearnings and longings, we know that You are seeking us, and we know that You love us, God, I pray those who are paying attention right now and listening and maybe joining in this prayer, those who are still searching and looking and seeking will find you. And God, that person who believes in you and trusts in you but just hasn't completely given their life to you might do that. And God, I pray that they would take that step to identify with Jesus and put him on in baptism and become one with the Lord. And God, wherever we are on that journey, I pray, God, that we might find the joy in the journey and the profound wonder of discovery as we find you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all. Lord of all the universe, all praise to him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Please be seated.
Good morning. I'm so thankful to see all of you this morning, and for everyone who's joining us online this morning, we're thankful that you're a part of our worship service as well. I have a few announcements to share. We'll have a prayer and then a song as we end our service this morning. I do want to take this opportunity to let you know that if you're a guest or a visitor with us, we've got some new member or new guest cards. If you'd like to fill out any information and share with us, those are available just here in the foyer where the drop boxes are. You'll see those adjacent to that. You'll be able to pick one of those up. We'd love to get a name and just spend a little time getting to know you a little better. We've got a kiosk area, a center for our new guests that if you'd like to spend a few minutes with us there, we'd appreciate that very much. This morning, I want to remind our members that each week we have the opportunity to share in the blessings that we've received, and so I want to remind you that we have ways to contribute to the work of the church here, both online as well as those drop boxes that are in the foyer. So we want to remind you that this morning. I have several announcements to share regarding activities we've got going on here at Northeast and things that are happening. Next Sunday, July 4th, there'll be a cookout and cornhole tournament here at the church building immediately following our worship. It'll be on the covered patio at the east end of our building. All of our guests and members are invited to be a part of that. We're asking for those families with last names A through I, you're asked to bring side dishes and help with setup. And those families with last names J through Z, to please bring desserts and help with cleanup. Everyone can bring drinks if you'd like, and cornhole sets if you have those. We will be providing hamburgers, hot dogs, fixings, and bottled water. Also, next Sunday is our beginning of SummerSlam 2021. SummerSlam 2021 is our Family Bible Club Vacation Bible School event, and we'll run each Sunday morning through July during our Bible class and worship times. It's for our kids who are nursery through sixth grade. Please invite your friends and neighbors to be a part of that, those activities that we're planning for our kids. There's more information available in the bulletin. There are a couple of copies of these on the foyer credenza if you'd like to pick up a bulletin on your way out. We want to offer our congratulations to Rich and Dina Clyde in the birth of their granddaughter, Jubilee Jade Huey, to parents Casey and Paul, or Paul and Casey Huey. On June 21st, Jubilee weighed 5 pounds, 10 ounces, was 19 inches long. And the news we've received is the mother and baby are doing well. So our congratulations to Rich and Dina in that regard. We extend our love and sympathy to Kendall and Tammy Doan and Emma and Ethan and Evan, as well as the entire Johnson family on the passing of Jerry Johnson this past Tuesday. Memorial service was held here at the building yesterday. We celebrated Jerry's life and his walk in faith, his years of example and service to the Lord's kingdom, and we want to remember the Doan and Johnson family in prayer this week. We also extend our love and sympathy to Nancy Jean, Alan, and Celeste in the passing of Nancy Jean's father, Frank Swan, who passed away Friday in Michigan. Nancy Jean and the family are with their family in Michigan this weekend, and ask that we keep them in prayer as well. It's with a heavy heart that I share news this morning. Jim Kamen's radiation oncologist let Jim know in recent TC scans that Jim's lung cancer has returned and there are no more treatment options. Jim's now under hospice care and is resting comfortably at home. The hospice nurse will be back out there tomorrow, so we want to keep Jim and Carolyn in prayer this week especially. Let's go together in prayer as we end our time together. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful that you are our God, that we can come before you in worship, that we can lift your name in song and praise, and just thankful that you hear our prayer. Father, we thank you for Grady and for the words that he shared this morning and the encouragement. Father, we pray for our family here at Northeast. We pray for every soul who is a part of our family, for them to know you and to be encouraged and to seek you. And Father, know that you will be seeking and finding them. Father, we pray for those that we have mentioned this morning, for the Doan and Johnson family, for Nancy Jean and her family, for their loss, and for all of those, Father, who have recently lost loved ones. Father, we know the emptiness and the mourning that occurs even as we celebrate their lives and remember them fondly. Father, we just pray for your healing and just your heart of compassion for each of them and their families. Father, we give praise this morning for Gina Jordan, for her successful back surgery, and just ask that you will continue to be with her through her recovery process. And we pray for Donna Spilly and others who will have procedures this week. Father, we pray for their success and just for the outcome to be able to provide them relief as they deal with pending surgeries. Father, we pray for those of our number who have ongoing health issues, that we pray for their healing. If it is your will, Father, that you'll give them peace and that they will know that you are with them and there's the blessing of your presence there. Father, we thank you so much for Jim and Carolyn Caveman and for their lives and their service and just their love for you and your kingdom. And we pray a special prayer this morning for Jim as he is dealing with his cancer, and just ask, Father, that you will give him rest, that you will strengthen him if it is your will. Father, and in all regards, that you will be with Carolyn and those attending to him. We thank you so much for the love that you have for us, the sacrifice of your Son, his life, his death, and his burial, his resurrection, Father, that gives each of us hope and opportunity for a life everlasting with you. We thank you so much for that love that you have for us, and just are thankful that you hear our prayers. We pray all of this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is awesome. He reigns from heaven with power and wisdom. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is awesome. He reigns from heaven with power and wisdom. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is awesome. He reigns from heaven with power and wisdom. Our God is an Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Now when he rolled up his sleeves, he wasn't putting on the Ritz. There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists. And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very soon, and so you better be believing.
Our God is an awesome God.
Yes, we know that he's awesome. And he reigns with power and wisdom. Our God is an awesome God, and we know that he's awesome. And he reigns with power and wisdom. Our God is an awesome God. Now when the sky was starless in the void of the night, he spoke into the darkness and created the light. His judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. His mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten our God. Yes, we know that he's awesome. And he reigns with power and wisdom. Our God is an awesome God, and we know that he's awesome. And he reigns with power and wisdom. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God
is awesome.
And he reigns with power and wisdom. Our God is an awesome God, and we know that he's awesome. And he reigns with power and wisdom. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Amen. Have a blessed week.